and gentlemen, welcome to the Muppet Telethon. We have Muppets standing by to take your calls.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I think I might be stupid.
Why would you say that about yourself?
I don't understand anything anyone is talking about most of the time.
That has nothing to do with intelligence.
It's like this. There's lots of different kinds of smart, you know, and you just have to discover which smart you are.
See, I don't understand what you just said.
Yeah! That's hot!
You're not that funny. But the good news is this business has nothing to do with funny.
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Am I sexually attracted to underage boys? Sexually attracted, you know, I enjoy young people.
And now,
that's crazy,
our feature presentation.
Yeah, anytime they ask the question back, they're stalling.
Yes.
Yeah. Am I attracted to?
In a sexual way?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I don't think you could find a worse response to a question.
Yeah.
In the history of the world.
Yeah.
That's why I sometimes pull it back out, because it still fascinates me, because you think you're going to make that phone call. You're going to do everything you can to appear innocent.
Yeah, of course.
Why go on television if you're not going to try to change public perception about whether you did it or not?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
He's a terrible, terrible liar.
Well, that's why he's in jail for the rest of his life, I guess. Hey, party people. Welcome on in. It is Monday. It is an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Want to start today with a feel-good story? Get the week off on the right foot?
That means it's going to be a bad story, people.
Nope. Right? It's going to have a bad ending. Uh-huh. Something terrible right at the last second.
Something's about to happen.
It's a very happy story that no one will find a problem with.
All right.
We all sleep with stuffed animals, right? That goes without saying.
Absolutely not.
I've got my sock monkey. Before that, my Curious George until he fell apart. And then before that, my Ewok. I mean, I have a long history of I can't sleep with without a stuffed animal. Same as you guys.
Nope.
Here's a story about little Liam, who received a bright blue monkey that he named Aha on his first birthday. And then a couple of years after that, he and his family are on a camping trip. They drive from their home in Ohio to the Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado, and somewhere along the way, he lost his little blue monkey. Aha. Lost his monkey. Just devastated. Couldn't stop crying.
Mm-hmm.
The family looked. They called every place that they had stopped along the trip. It was 500 miles. They called all the places, the rest stops and the souvenir shops and the attractions and everything. Nobody had the monkey. What could they do? They had to give up. They also couldn't replace the stuffed animal. They had no idea what kind of monkey it was. They had cut the tag off. They didn't know what company made it. They couldn't find another one anywhere. So life just went on, and Liam got sadder and sadder as time went on.
He went on antidepressants. He couldn't do well in school.
A shooting spree. Recently, while Mom was on eBay searching for another item, on a whim, she decided to type in blue monkey, and what do you want to know? But Aha came up for sale from somebody.
On eBay?
Yes, on eBay.
She got me a monkey.
She didn't realize at the time that it was the exact same monkey. She just knew that it looked like her little boy's lost monkey. So she went ahead and bought it for him, thought it would be fun to have.
Sneak it past him.
Right. And then when the monkey arrived, she realized that there was all the marks on it, that he had been singed in one point and he had been cut in another place. And it was, in fact, the exact same monkey. So she's able to give her little boy his monkey back. And everybody lived happily ever after.
Wow.
And that little boy's probably sleeping for the first time in years now.
I'm sure you think that.
Because he's got Aha back. But what are the chances that somebody would take a beat-up, used, stuffed animal and put it on eBay 3 years later after it has been lost, right?
It's bizarre. And the fact that they would find it.
The fact that they would find it. It was the first and only time she'd ever searched on eBay. She never even thought of that before. She just was on eBay looking at something else. And she said, I wonder if there's any blue monkeys on here. And then she came up with the same monkey. I mean, look, I could see if somebody found it and had put it on eBay shortly after they found it. But 3 years later, the timing of that is remarkable, I think.
It is. It's amazing.
What she should have done is said, hey, get over sleeping with your stuffed animal. Life sucks. You're an adult now.
How old is the baby?
He's like
1?
5 now or
4
something.
5?
He doesn't even remember that monkey.
That's right.
He's like, what? What is this ragged piece of blue?
You need to get rid of that, or people are going to make fun of you into your life.
This story, Lisa, has video of little Liam being reintroduced to his monkey. And when you see how happy he is, when you see the joy on his face from that little monkey, then you would take it all back.
All right. Then I'm very happy.
You are troubling on a lot of levels, you guys.
Yes, but it's troubling.
Nothing troubling about that.
That's troubling to me.
It's good for everyone.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Details of your idea are without interest. You may dispense with the explanation.
No, that's too bad. LaQuisha, keeping up with the Kardashians.
God bless
her. She loves this. Got to tell you. She loves this with all her heart. Jeff Probst will be on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Jeff Probst.
He's the host of Survivor. He's got a new TV show to tell us about.
That's a dangerous world to get into, man, trying to compete in daytime television.
A lot of people are doing it, too.
I don't know how many shows they put on every year, but very few of them succeed, I'll tell you that. Yeah. It's tough to get eyeballs in daytime.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. Going to check in with Andrew Siciliano. We're going to talk to the editor of Maxim about their October issue, which they have the hottest women on TV list.
They love their list.
Yes, they do.
One of the hottest women on TV is coming in today, too.
That's true.
Bianca Kailik will be here. She's from Rules of Engagement.
And you're not going to be all embarrassing about, she used to be married to your boyfriend, your man crush, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I didn't even thought of that.
It's going to be awkward.
Nope. It's not going to be awkward
at all. Something that you want so badly.
How could you split with him?
It's not going to be awkward at all.
What's he like in his private life? I can see it now.
How could I get some of that?
I'm only interested in her new choice. And what a bad one it is.
She's not going in the right direction.
We will talk about that along with the red carpet interviews that Beer Mug did for MTV. If you missed those late in the show on Friday, you must hear.
Magic.
Because he's terrible. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. We also have Ralph Showbizby coming up.
So what I learned after week one of the NFL is it's better to be on the winning side of a last-minute game than on the losing side of a last-minute game.
That is true. That
right,
is
guys? True. Right, both of you guys? Right, Ralph and Kevin?
Yes. Sure. Yeah. The winners say yes. What say the losers?
Here's my favorite 3 seconds of the whole day.
Wilson throws. Touchdown, Seton. No, he dropped it.
That's about as close as you can get to a touchdown, isn't it?
Touchdown, see you later.
Guy in the end zone dropped the ball.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah, he did. After the fourth timeout.
Funny. Yeah. After the fourth timeout.
After the fourth timeout.
Four times out and seven plays in the red zone to try to score to win the game. It was not fun, kids.
Wait a minute. Well, hold on. It was fun.
Oh, that's right. It was fun. Yeah.
My team won, and it wasn't fun for me. That's how bad they played yesterday.
Did anyone on either the Eagles or the Browns throw to one of their own players, or were they all thrown to the other side?
Look, just because there were 8 interceptions, 4 on each side, does not mean that the quarterbacks didn't have a good day.
I think it does.
I need to bone up on my rules of football then.
I don't think I've ever heard of a game with 8 interceptions. Is it anywhere near a record, Ralph? Do you know?
No, not even close.
Oh, really?
No.
It just seemed insane to me. All right. Well, anyway, we talked to Andrew Siciliano about all the NFL action coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Siciliano, by the way, a Browns fan. And I said to him when he came in last week, I said, you know, we need to make a bet on that Eagles-Browns game. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. The Eagles are going to destroy them. No point. I was like thinking yesterday, he's like, I bet he wishes around the middle of the third quarter that he wish he had made that bet. But did not go his way. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office since it is Monday morning. Not a big weekend at the movies, and by not a big weekend, I mean the worst weekend for movie going since 2001.
Wow.
Well, I remember Friday you were telling us what movies were out. We've never heard any of them.
Just a crap bag full of movies. That's why nobody wanted to see the stuff that they were putting out. The number one movie at the box office only made $9.5 million.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Less than $10 million for number one.
I wish Red State had come out this weekend.
No kidding.
When we did. Possession was number one at the box office this weekend. Lawless, the moonshine movie with Shia LaBeouf, was second at the box office with $6 million. Then The Words with very earnest Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Being an author.
You don't buy it?
Looking moonily into the sky a lot and that kind of stuff. No one was interested. $5 million in its debut, made it number 3 at the box office. Then The Expendables 2 and The Bourne Legacy. Paranorman, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, The Campaign, The Dark Knight Rises, and lastly, 2016, Obama's America, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I wonder if movie companies will see what's happening and go, hey, there's an opportunity here for somebody to save a good movie for September and put it out. Probably clean up.
Not a lot of competition. put something out people want to see in the movie theaters, and they will go. What a help. Release the words, and you get what you got coming. That's all I'm saying. Word. Very sad weekend for my boy Dave Sanchez. I feel for him. I wanted to give him a shout-out. I know he's suffering right now. Well, not one, but two of his main crushes got married over the weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Kobe Smulders.
Yes.
From How I Met Your Mother in the Avengers. She got married to Taron Killam from Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Wedding took place in Santa Barbara. Their three-year-old daughter, Shaylin, took part in the ceremony, so they've been together for a while. But Dave was like, oh, she married him. She should marry me.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. It's not like he was next in line for anybody.
He was. He was right next in line.
I don't
think
so.
Yeah. Even after the three-year-old kid. You see, he was still on the list.
I don't think so.
And his other big crush, Blake Lively, married Ryan Reynolds this weekend. So Ryan Reynolds, let me just take a look at his wedding track record. Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
Right.
Not bad.
Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are his wives.
So far, those are his two wives.
He marries good.
Yes, he
does marry well.
He doesn't stick so
doesn't marry long.
Yeah.
Marries good.
Yeah. So congratulations to those two. Over the weekend, a little scare over at the Miley Cyrus compound.
Uh-oh.
Early Saturday morning, a man was arrested going over the fence around her home here in Southern California, armed with a pair of scissors.
Oh.
Trying to force his way into the singer's home. Miley was not home at the time. Cops said the person they arrested said he simply wanted to meet Miley as he wielded his scissors. Listen, any damage that could be done to Miley Cyrus with a pair of scissors has already been done. Have you seen her new haircut? Maybe he was trying to fix it.
Yes.
Maybe he was a hairdresser, who was trying to repair things. Speaking of which, Miley says she is so over the reaction of people to her new hairdo. The only thing that's hard, is it's the only thing people want to talk about, she tells People magazine. Listen, you giant tooth douchebag. You don't do that to your head and not want to be talked about.
Especially if you're a celebrity
already.
It
doesn't happen. You don't shave the side of your head and cut it short and dye it platinum blonde because you want to be ignored. So F you. Shut up. Go back home and wait for the guy with the scissors. Damn. I hate that. Oh, everyone's just looking at me and talking about my new hairdo. Stop it!
She should do something to give anyone something to talk about. There's nothing else to talk about.
Right. Record a song or do a TV show or a movie or something. What else do we got? We got your teeth and your hair. That's all we have.
It does look like she cut it herself, doesn't it?
It does. It's ridiculous.
And I got it with the scissors. I think you're right. I think he could have improved it.
I do, too. Great news for me. Over the weekend, it was announced that they're making a movie about Penn State head coach Joe Paterno, his life story. Al Pacino has been tapped to play.
No kidding.
Legendary college coach Paterno.
Great choice.
In the movie based on the New York Times bestseller Paterno. Oh, it gives me material for years. Wow. Oh, I don't think you should take a shower with a boy. Wow. I can't wait for that film. It's going to be awesome. And congratulations to our buddy Carson Daly. His second child, a daughter named Etta, was born last Thursday afternoon to his longtime partner, Siri Pinter. Congratulations. They already have a beautiful three-year-old son named Jackson. And so they're building quite the little family over there. Get married. So,
what?
Congratulations. And lastly, my boy Larry Flint is mixing up the political world once again with another bounty on somebody's head. He has offered up a cool $1 million for an up-close and personal look at Mitt Romney's tax returns. No one has seen Mitt's tax returns. He's not forthcoming with them.
Doesn't he have to at some point?
I don't know if it's the law or not. I think it's just tradition.
Think so. It's tradition. Yeah, just tradition.
He's
yeah.
released what he has to legally.
And he will not release his tax returns, so Larry Flint is offering $1 million to anyone who can dig up evidence of the candidate's unreleased tax returns and or if there's any details of offshore accounts, bank accounts, and business partnerships. Flint ran the ads in yesterday's Washington Post. They'll be in the USA Today tomorrow. And he's got the money to back it up. So if you've got any friends over the IRS, you might want to cash in a favor right now. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody takes him up on this one, by the way.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I mean, there's been so much speculation as to why Mr. Romney is so reticent to release him, because he's already come out and said that he's paid an average of about 13% taxes. So that wouldn't be shocking if that's accurate, if that's true, even though it's much lower than the rest of us. But what else could he be hiding?
Yeah,
if anything. I mean, is it...
who he's donating money to, or what? I mean, what? I'm trying
to
figure out.
Or does he have a vagina?
Well, I don't know that that would show up in a tax return.
You would check the vagina box.
I've never seen the vagina box.
Weird that he's hanging on to that. Like,
although
like
I did see him at the Troub.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Perry of Aerosmith is 62 years old today. What a weird world we live in when all our rock stars are now in their 60s.
Yeah.
It's very strange. It's true. Director Chris Columbus is 54 years old. Actor Colin Firth. How talented is that guy? He's 52 years old. Robin Goodridge of Bush is 47 years old. Kevin's old poker pals, Buck Cherry, in the news. Guitarist Stevie D is 46 years old. Rapper Big Daddy Kane's 44. Director Guy Ritchie, also 44 today. My fellow Philadelphian Ryan Phillippe celebrates his 38th birthday. Bassist Mikey Way of My Chemical Romance is 32. And Matthew Folliwell of the Folliwells of Kings of Leon is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
They call it the longest rivalry in sports. It's the Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers going back to 1921. These teams have been at each other's throats, Lisa May. Mm-hmm. And they played 182 games against each other, I think. The Bears overall are the winners, but obviously in recent years the Packers have been owning Chicago, and they play again this Thursday night. And that's why it's interesting that this story that Kevin has is in the news about how deep this rivalry goes.
Well, there was a dude who owns a house that's walking distance from Lambeau Field, which is where Green Bay plays. And he's away on work, and he's going to move there in a couple of years. So he rented it out to people. Come to find out, they were hardcore Bears fans.
Uh-oh.
Oh, they really? They
put, you know, signs on their front lawn and everything. Chicago Bears, Bears. And everybody around there is very upset. So he's trying to – he tried to evict him because he's a Bears fan.
Not that easy,
not
is
that
it?
Easy.
They're Bears fans, right?
They're Bears fans, right.
Right.
So we decided we would talk to the landlord. And just have you
been to?
Yeah.
You ever been to Lambeau Field? By the way,
I have not.
Lambeau Field is, well, first of all, it's directly across the street from a Target. Okay, in a shopping center.
Good.
it's like this whole city built up around Lambeau Field, and there are houses. I'm not joking. Within 50 feet of the parking lot of Lambeau Field. It's
wow.
not like you picture most stadiums that are off the freeway, off a distance. I mean, there is a community. There are thousands of houses within walking distance of Lambeau Field. None of them have Bears fans in them.
No,
none of them. I mean, if you live within the shadow of Lambeau Field, you love the goddamn Packers. Let's face it. Who's this landlord guy? Jerry Sanders on the line with us?
Hey,
hi, Jerry.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
Thank you so much for joining us. So I want to make sure I understand the story. So you still own the house, but you've had to move away for business for a couple of years, so you're just trying to rent it out, and you're eventually going to move back.
That's great. That's right. I love the location there, and I had no intentions of selling the property. And then, you know, I go away to do some gosh darn work, and the next thing you know, I'm renting the place. And then some freaking Bears fans are moving in there, don't you know?
Now, how did you find this out? Did your neighbors let you know? Or
yeah, they said there's Bears paraphernalia all over your lawn there, Jerry. What's going on? And I said, well, gosh darn it, I don't know. If I had known that, I never would have rented to these son of a guns, you know?
And so legally, you cannot evict somebody
no,
just
can
because
you believe
they...
it? There's no law against being a Bears fan, that which is madness, in my opinion, don't you know? I mean, it's certainly in the state of Wisconsin, you think there'd be some sort of legislation or something we could put in place to keep, you know, freaking Bear fans out of here.
Well, is it possible that it's just they moved from Chicago for business for a couple of years, and they're not going to give up the allegiance to their team that they've loved?
Well, they should go some gosh darn other place than my home, as far as I'm concerned, and I think they should either leave my home or be murdered.
Wow. Murder? That's a little strong.
Yeah.
You know, look, this is Titletown USA, okay? We take things pretty seriously here.
I have to tell you that it's a testament to how nice the Packers fans are that memorabilia in their front yard lasted even an hour. In a lot of cities, that stuff would be ripped right off the yard.
And I think we need to get a little more serious about it then, because it should be ripped out of the yard, and those people should be ripped out of the home and tied to the back of a pickup truck.
Nope.
Oh,
nope,
my God.
Nope.
Well, I'm not saying you drive the pickup truck or anything. Just tie it to the back of them. Just let them sit there for a while. You know?
And think about what they've done.
Think about their allegiances, and perhaps they should change who they root for in a football game, don't
So, what's the conversation been like with your tenants?
Just me yelling, get out, and them saying no.
No conversation at all.
I got gosh darn neighbors, for God's sake.
Right.
And they're quite upset with me that I didn't, do my due diligence and find out who I was renting the property to. And now here you go. You got some Bears fans in there, and we got a gosh darn game coming up this week.
You do.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, you do. And so
and
all
after
of a sudden,
this weekend, I'm not happy about it.
No, it's a tough week to be a Packers fan. That was not a fun game yesterday, was
well,
it?
You're gosh darn right it wasn't fun.
So now you look like the a-hole to the rest of your neighbors because thanks to you, there's Bears stuff in
right,
the front
now
yard.
Now it's on me. Now it's my fault somehow. Like, I have no control over these lunatics and what they're doing and what they're putting out there with their giant C's.
Yeah.
When we all know it should be a giant G.
Do you know how many pieces of Bear memorabilia they have in the yard? Would you be willing to count them for me?
It's like they got flags and all kinds of crap out there. They got long gnomes and placemats and all kinds of gosh darn things with Chicago's colors and the big C on there. I think they're using the Bears condoms, and I think one of their children has a face tattoo. It's just horrible.
Well, I don't know how this is what is going to end, though. If you got no recourse legally, what are you going to do, Jer?
I have no idea, but I got two cans of kerosene and a Bic lighter. That's all I know.
Maybe not. It's your house.
Maybe I'm saying the insurance money would come in gosh darn handy.
By the way, next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we get to do something we don't do very often, and that's draw a listener's name to send them on a trip to Paris, France, to see Florence and the Machine. That's the grand prize drawing of the giveaway we were doing all last week to go see the band at the Hollywood Bowl. This week, we're hooking you up with tickets to see Rise Against and Gaslight Anthem, two of the best live bands working today. They're going to be playing September the 29th at the Honda Center. We got details at KROQ.com, and your chance to win coming up in just a few minutes here on the world-famous KROQ.
Well, I'll tell you, this Kevin thing sure is taking off.
It sure is. Sure.
This
Kevin
thing that you thought was going to die on day one,
I was
by
hoping
the way,
was going to die.
Is exploding. Now, Kevin, for folks who don't know, this is the photo that Kevin took doing an ad for the Arclight Cinema. And it's what movie theater is it posted at, Kevin?
I don't know, Bean.
Yes, you do.
Sherman Oaks.
In Sherman Oaks, you can see Kevin's picture up there, and he's just got a hilarious look on his face, and he's doing something unnatural with his hands. And people are just recreating this picture all over the world. Kevin, we got photos in over the weekend from Finland.
I know.
From Sweden. That's from funny. Salem, Massachusetts.
Right,
from
great.
Maine. I mean,
great.
It's just insane. We got a new gallery
fantastic.
Up at KevinBean.com or KROQ.com. If you want to check it out, it is up there for your enjoyment, and you can send in your own photos as well.
I got an email from Jimmy Kimmel over the weekend. The subject line was just, I love this so much. And then the whole text was Kevining.
Well, Jimmy needs to send us a photo now. All right, let's catch up with our old friend Jeff Probst, who does it all. He writes and directs movies. He hosts and executive produces Survivor. I think he's got a children's book coming out. And he's the star and host of a new daytime talk show that debuts today, this afternoon, 2 o'clock on Channel 4. It's called The Jeff Probst Show. Hey, Jeff, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
I ordinarily wouldn't even care about yet another daytime talk show, except I like you so much that I'm excited to see what you do with it, because you've always struck me as a guy who's interested in so many different sorts of things, and I bet we'll see a lot of that on the TV.
You know, it's funny that I get what you mean. I would be the same way. In fact, I don't even really watch daytime.
I'm going to wait for the reviews for your show, to be honest.
That's fair.
Okay.
But it is kind of structured the way, it sort of after what you just implied, which is I do get bored quickly, and I like lots of things. And I know the audience gets bored fast. We want it, and then we want to move on. So we've structured it in that way so that you will get a lot of fun, different stories every day. And we do a segment called Guys on the Couch, where I grab two guys from the audience and we answer questions from women about, usually about sex. It seems to always end up, it's supposed to be dating and relationship, but it always gets down to, why do you guys like morning sex so much? And then we do this one really fun thing at the end called an ambush adventure that is sort of a nod to Survivor, where we start the show and we don't know what we're going to do, but in the last act, we find somebody that's been sort of birthed within the show that needs to do something in their life. I'm all about, you know, life is short at best, so get up off your ass. Let's get going, because the clock is ticking.
Right, but wait. So if I'm in your audience, it's possible you're going to send me on some grand adventure?
Well, yes.
What if I don't want to go?
Well, it's not usually a grand adventure like going to the Grand Canyon. It's more like it's something you need in your life. Like, we had a woman who asked a question of Guys on the Couch. She talked about, my boyfriend broke up with me a month ago. I think it's because I make more money. Does that really bother guys when the woman makes more dough? And I dug it a little deeper, and what really came out is that she's in love with him, and she thought he was in love with her, and she doesn't want to let this go if it's over something silly. So at the end of the show, I come out and I say, all right, I got the adventure for you. Here's the twist to the adventure. You have to say yes before you know what it is. And if you say yes, you must do it. And if you don't, you disappoint not only me, but yourself.
and the world.
And America.
Right.
And America, right. And a national television audience. So she says yes. And I said, so you said earlier that you're missing this guy and you're wondering why he really broke up. And I pull out a phone and I say, we're calling him right now. And so that's kind of the idea of it. And they call and he goes on the air and he tells her. In fact, that's our premiere episode today. He tells her exactly why. Whoops.
What happened? You set off the alarm?
No, we're in a recording studio.
It's not the BS meter, is it, Jeff?
God, that would be a great element.
Yes, it would.
That would be fantastic. I should get that on there. Just start beeping. I'm not buying it.
Starts blowing smoke up your ass, you got a buzzer to hit or something, right? Jeff, there's so much competition in daytime, now more than ever, and most shows that go on the air fail, as you know.
Yeah.
Of course, that's true at tonight. How do you compete with, I mean, there must be 30 other shows on.
Yeah,
and
well,
for God's sakes, the talk today, the ladies are doing their show without makeup. I mean, how do you compete with something like as riveting as that?
Oh, my God, why would they do that?
They got Sharon Osbourne without makeup on the TV today. How do you compete with that, Jeff?
That's how bad it gets.
Wow.
You start doing it. You know, here's how you do it.
Jeff, let's not judge until a couple of years down the road when you're doing it without makeup.
I know. Everyone keeps I just left Rachel Ray last week doing it, and she whispered in my ear, call me when they start telling you, you know, that you need to, like you said, start chasing the rating. Here's how I approach it, and this is the honest truth. For whatever reason, I don't feel the pressure. I'm doing my best. We built this show from the bottom. It was me. And then I hired the woman I wanted to produce with, Amy Coleman, and we hired every single person. We're doing our best. I'm proud of the show. It's a
BS meter. A BS meter.
Wow. And, censors on Probe Show. Be ready.
I know.
Here's a guy who doesn't understand live radio and television anymore.
So I'm just, that's honestly it. I'm going to do our best, and I sent notes and stuff to Steve Harvey and Katie and Ricky because I know how much work it takes. It's like you guys coming up with material every day. My buddy Doug Larson listens to you every single day, and he'll say, oh, they did the funniest thing this morning. And what I'm always thinking about is you guys have to come up with new material every day, so all you can do is your best, and that's it.
Well, right. In our defense, we are padding this hour with Jeff Probst.
Right. All right, look, we're almost out of time. Again, Jeff Probst premieres today at 2 on KNBC Channel 4. Here's the only thing I'm going to say to you, Jeff, and I applaud what you're trying to do with helping people and changing the world and blah, 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 blah. There's not enough Springer on TV anymore, and I want you to think if the ratings start to dip a little bit a few weeks in, there is room for people hitting each other over the head with chairs and bringing on Nazis and stuff like that. There's not much of that on TV anymore, and maybe you're the guy to bring it back.
You know, what happened to those good old days?
Yeah, exactly, right?
That's what we're saying, and give your show a go, and then when they start coming back and saying you need to get ratings, then
I got it.
Go into what I saw on Friday from Springer, which is Trannyville.
Trannyville and paternity test and zombies are real
if that happens, you please call me so that I can come on your show and get an absolute verbal lashing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, you won't need to. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Okay, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on. Bye. Bianca Kailik will be joining us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's one of the stars of that Rules of Engagement, don't you know? She's pretty. She's coming in. Also, Dan Bova from Maxim Magazine later on the program today. Harvey Levin and Andrew Siciliano. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Possession led off the monster weekend at the box office with $9.5
million. With $95
million? That would be $9.5 million.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, a little less than $10 million was the number one movie at the box office this weekend. Not a big weekend at the box office. In fact, Daily Variety newspaper says it was the worst weekend for movie going since 2001. Now, for record, the past 11 years, no weekend has been worse.
And by the way, that weekend was probably the weekend after 9/11. For the weekend,
that's an excellent point. Yeah.
A, there's crappy movies out, and B, yes. football has to be part of that, right? I would imagine.
I would think
college
so.
Football all day Saturday, NFL all day Sunday. I mean, that's going to cut into people's free time where they want to go to the movies.
There's still Friday and Saturday nights to go to the movies, and nobody went.
I think both of those cut into it, but no one was dying to see anything this weekend.
No one wanted to rush to see The Words with Bradley Cooper looking all moony over a lost transcript. That's not a movie.
It was.
That made $5 million in its opening weekend. That made it number three. So it's Possession, Lawless, The Words, Expendables 2, and Bourne Legacy in the top five. Then Paranorman, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, The Campaign, Dark Knight Rises, and 2016 Obama's America. That's your top ten at the box office this weekend. Listen, I am not one to blow my own horn. Largely because I'm not limber enough.
If you could, you wouldn't be
here.
If
I could, I'd be blowing my own horn. But last week, not last week, I guess the week before, we did a little comedy sketch, which you do here on the Kevin and Bean Show, about our good pal Steve Jones of the legendary Sex Pistols.
Right.
He does a show here on K-Rock called Jonesy's Jukebox.
And you fell in love with his storytelling.
And I hadn't heard it in a while, and I was, I think I was coming home from the airport or something, I forget. I was traveling, and I was in the car, and I had a K-Rock on, as I do, and I heard Jonesy's Jukebox. I said, this is fascinating radio. I love him. And so we did a little segment because we were talking about the release of the box set of the Sex Pistols. And so we did a little segment where you guys supposedly talked to Steve Jones, and maybe he sounded a little addled, perhaps, didn't sound as sharp, perhaps, as he does in real life. Or perhaps it's exactly as sharp as he sounds in real life.
His stories seem to wander a bit sometimes.
Anyway, people always ask me, how do you feel when people you find out do impressions of, people that you do impressions of find out that you do impressions of? It's usually embarrassing. But in this particular case, I'm kind of thrilled being a Sex Pistols fan and all. His manager apparently was listening that morning.
Uh-oh.
And the compliment to me, I believe, is that she called him in a panic, thinking that he was either high or drunk, rambling on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here is a little piece of Jonesy's Jukebox where Steve talks about the phone calls he got from his management.
Talking about K-Rock, didn't Kevin and Bean...
I heard...
Wednesday, I got a message from my manager saying... like six messages, and I woke up. For some reason, I woke up late, like 9:30, and I'm like, what's going on? And then as I'm about to call her, she calls me one more time, panicking. Ah, he was on Kevin Bay. Were you getting loaded? Because Ralph...
Ralph was impersonating
you. Impersonating me, and I guess he was saying, like, I'm getting a high or what, I don't know. But she went into a panic, and... But I think I take that as a compliment that Ralph... Did
I want to hear it.
Did the Jonesy voice.
I was trying to find the podcast of it.
He was promoting the
send it to him.
The Sex Pistols box set that's coming out in England because Bean heard it on the Nerdist.
Oh yeah, the podcast that you did.
Yeah, that came out on Tuesday, and I was talking about it all. And I guess Bean's a big Nerdist fan, so that's how this all come about.
Can't wait to hear Ralph's impersonation of you.
Yeah, I wish we had it.
So we got to send it over to Steve.
Sure, that's very nice.
Give something.
It's a love fest.
Something he can provide to his lawyers. That's what we want to do.
Let's do another one.
Hand evidence over to the prosecution.
Let's do another one and then send it over.
Ralph, out of all of these...
So I heard I was on Kevin and Bean.
Me talking about him talking about me.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Now I'm confused. Compared to other times where Sunday Night Talk Show hosts have heard of impersonations on this program, I think this went pretty well.
This is a better reaction, yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Perry of Aerosmith is 62 years old today. Not Steve at all. Yeah, Stevie D, guitarist for Buck Cherry. He's 46 years old. Colin Firth is 52. Robin Goodrich, drummer of Bush, is 47 years old. Big Daddy Kane celebrates his 44th birthday, as does director Guy Ritchie. Ryan Phillippe is 38 years old. Mikey Way from My Chemical Romance celebrates his 32nd birthday. And Matthew Folliwell of Kings of Leon celebrates 28 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Oh, we suck so bad, Kevin.
Why?
What?
I mean, I know we do, but why are you saying this right now?
Because we should have had Omar make an intro for our new segment, Women Who Make Bad Choices.
Oh, good thinking. Maybe he can whip it up.
Bianca Kylik is here in studio. One of the stars of CBS's Rules of Engagement. Hi, Bianca.
Hello. Good morning.
So nice to have you on as a guest, finally, on the Kevin and Bean Show after all these years.
Thank you. I know.
So do we start with the good news about how Rules of Engagement is a smash in and is in syndication, or start with the bad news that you're still dating Psycho Mike Catherwood? Where do you want to begin? We'll give you your choice. We're going to cover them both.
We're going to cover Mike at length, so we might want to start with Rules of Engagement.
Yes, let's go with Rules. We'll ease into it.
All right. First of all, how is it possible that this show has been on for, what, 7 years now?
I don't know. It is so crazy. Oliver Hudson, my co-star, and I were talking the other day and joking about how, like, CBS, we see CBS execs in their offices, like, banging on their desks, like, we can't kill this show. We can't get rid of it.
They really want to, but they just can't?
I think so. But, you know, we've got a crazy legion of fans that have managed to follow us no matter where we go in the schedule. And so we're still here.
and when you say they're trying to kill it, it's because they put it on, take it off, move it from night to night. They do everything they can to make it tough to follow, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're literally trying to kill us, obviously, but I do think that, you know, there was a writer's strike one season, and we've just had kind of a series of misfortunate events where we just have...
Most shows would be killed by that.
Yes. Yes.
But you have the secret weapon, which is Patrick Warburton, who everybody adores.
I know. That guy cannot say a line a bad way. I mean, it's really kind of hilarious to sit there and watch him and see him do his thing and then not be able to be as funny or talented as he is. So
it makes you feel good?
It kind of sucks.
Wow, he's good.
But you are not, and I don't know if this is a continuation of what we're talking about with CBS, but you're not premiering like this month like most of the CBS shows, right?
No, we're coming on mid-season, which is actually kind of more normal for us than premiering in the fall. So we're used to this slot. We wait until something doesn't do well, and then we come in and we show them why we're still around.
So you're like TV vultures.
Yes.
Just waiting for something to die.
Exactly.
And we should mention that if you can't wait for new episodes of Rules of Engagement, you can have all the reruns you want because the show today launches in syndication, which is what every actor in the world praise for when they sign up for a sitcom, is you make it to syndication, and now that means good checks for the rest of your life, right?
Well, I mean, it's not what it once was.
Okay checks for the rest of your life.
Okay. Mediocre.
You can see it on Channel 9, if I have this correct, at midnight is when they're going to be showing the episodes of Rules of Engagement, right?
Yes, and then I guess on WGN, it comes on at 9 p.m. every Wednesday.
Oh, that's great for our Chicago affiliate.
It's still virtually impossible to find. It's only on Wednesdays on WGN, and it floats. You just have to pay attention. Sometimes it comes on right during the news. It's really weird.
You were born in Seattle, Washington.
I was.
Which hospital?
Edmonds, Stephen Memorial.
Hospital. Oh, they do good work. They do good work. Yeah.
That was a shaky answer. I don't think she was born here.
We need to see your
passport.
You began your career, your bio says, as a dancer in the Olympic Ballet Theater in Washington. You spent 7 years as a ballet dancer.
Yes, it's not a very famous company.
how did you end up turning into an actress?
Because I got a butt and boobs, and I was no longer anorexic enough.
They said, you can't dance anymore, go do something else.
I was never really cut to be a dancer. It was way too gawky and awkward. You could always point me out on the stage with the awkward arms flying all over the place. So, naturally, I went to the next best thing. So,
how about that? So, really, do they kick you out if you start to look too much like a woman?
No, I mean, they're super strict about, you know,
is there a weight limit?
There is not a weight limit, but they definitely are very critical. And at 14, I just didn't feel like having a career anymore. So,
I went
and was a normal teenager.
Yeah. Like a lot of people do with athletics, where they get to a certain level and they go, well, now it's just turning into work and I don't like it anymore, right? So I want to do something else.
Yeah.
Did you cry when you saw Black Swan?
That's a great question.
I did see it.
Oh, okay.
I did see it. I love Swan Lake is one of my favorite ballets, to geek out for a minute. But I had some pangs, some little misty eyes.
But you also understood how twisted it all is.
I did. Yeah. I remember, this is so messed up, but I remember when I was 13 eating an apple by carving out pieces with my finger because I wanted to eat it so slowly that I would get full. I mean, that's just crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
13.
Yeah.
So you'd feel full before you finish the apple.
Yeah. I mean, which is probably how most Americans should eat anyway.
Yeah. That would help.
You're trying to spread it out over an hour, so it felt like you were eating more food, right?
I know, yeah.
So did you have a, hey, now I'm going to move to Hollywood and try to make it as an actress thing, or did you come in some other different way?
Well, I went to college for a year and a half. And
wow. You gave it a good run. You gave it your all.
I was a little bit of a wild child in college. I didn't make it very long. And then my first foray into the acting world, what I thought was a genius idea was I made an audition tape to be on Road Rules.
Oh, that would have been awesome. There you go.
Yeah. And I think actually my brother ended up stealing the spotlight because he came in and mooned the camera halfway through.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I didn't get an invitation to do that, thankfully. And then I did a small part in a movie, 10 Things I Hate About You, and that kind of was the bug and the SAG card, and here I
Now you're syndicated.
But being in Bring It On, though, that was the highlight, right? Because that movie's awesome.
You know what's so funny about that movie is, I mean, we all thought, here, we're making a cheesy cheerleading movie. Like, no one thought that it was going to be this big thing and, you know, what, four sequels later and a musical.
Yeah.
We just had no idea.
And people still love that movie. It's still a movie you can't not watch when it comes on TV.
Yeah, and oddly, very old men. Love that.
Hey, are you looking at me? What's wrong? Second place, that's hell yes. All right. So Rules of Engagement now is a show that I guess people watch, right? People have seen it. People enjoy it.
Somewhere in middle America they are, and on the East Coast.
We don't get CBS on our TVs. So, I'm sorry to say. We don't get the NCISs. We don't get any of these shows that are huge hits, I guess.
It comes in. We just don't get them.
Right. And then how did you meet our little friend Michael Catherwood?
All right, we need to take a break.
All right.
No, we need to take a break. Hold on.
We need to take a break. How did you meet Mike Catherwood? We'll come up next.
Sounds good.
Was it on Loveline? Were you a guest on Loveline?
Hey,
Hey.
Beautiful Bianca Kailik in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She, of course, one of the stars of Rules of Engagement, along with David Spade, Patrick Warburton, Megan Price. It is coming back as a mid-season replacement on CBS. It can be seen in syndication on Channel 9 starting at midnight tonight and every weeknight. Bianca, you didn't get up and leave during the commercials and song. We appreciate that very much. So when we broke, you were telling us how you met our friend, young Mike Catherwood.
Yes. I was a guest on Loveline. Gosh, I don't know, almost 2 years ago now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
he notoriously nails all the guests on Loveline.
But you know how gross he is on Loveline.
To this day.
You had to get past that. I know. I think when I met him, the first real amount of information out of his mouth was he told the Paris Poo story. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, clearly.
And then you said, this is the man for me? I mean, really.
She did have a disturbed teenage year or two. Yeah. So.
Here's what I don't get, Bianca. And I'm so grateful that you came in. And I'm going to just be straight up with you here.
Okay.
Lots of guys date chicks that are ridiculously hot but have zero to offer personality and smarts-wise just because they're hot, right? But girls don't need to do that. You're so hot, you could get any guy that you wanted. Why date a guy just because he's good-looking when he's a zero in every other department?
Oh, my gosh. You guys are so mean.
Really? Well, just now, Mike.
Well, listen. There is a whole different side to Mike, which I'm sure that he would love nobody to know about.
Then tell us that part. Tell us what he would not want us to know.
I don't know. He is not as much of a Lothario, I think, as people would believe. And I think I saw through all that crap and junk in the beginning.
Wow.
So.
So you're saying there is an actual decent, like, respectful, nice
guy? Let's not get crazy. Don't put words in her mouth.
Hidden in there somewhere that he's afraid to show to the public?
I mean, look, I know it's going to be, you know, hard to convince you guys otherwise.
Well, we spent time with him.
We heard too many fart jokes tonight for too many years.
I know. Did you know that with me, he actually goes in the other room to fart?
What? What? That's not the mic we know. He's so proud of them.
What? Now I know you're lying.
So how do you ever see him? He's always in the other room.
He must get up and run in there like every 30 seconds.
So have you been dating then for about 2 years now?
No, it took us about 9 months to go out on our first date. So
did you have to make it happen or did he make it happen?
I did have to make
That's
it happen.
That's what I figured. Yeah. That's what I figured. Because as good looking as Mike is, he's got no game.
Yes. Yes.
So I figured you would have to be the...
I did. And incredibly, it happened over Twitter, which is very embarrassing and kind of cheesy. But the funny story is that
mutual, well, actually not even a mutual friend of ours, Wendy McClendon Covey, who is a recurring character on Rules and was on Bridesmaid, went on Loveline, and apparently they had a little conversation.
Oh.
And Wendy texted me and said, you know, this guy is really into you. And so my mother, who is, you know, as all mothers do, trying to completely help me get set up and happy and be in love.
Steer you away from guys like that. Let's be honest.
I told her, and she goes, well, what are you going to do? And I said, Mom, I can't tweet him. Everyone can see it. And she said, well, you know, I hate to intervene, but I will if I have to. And I thought, of the two greater evils, having my mother say something on Twitter was way worse than me saying something.
Sure.
So I went ahead.
And wow.
So you tweeted him and said, hey, let's go out or let's get together?
I just said, do we need to have a talk?
Oh, wow, that's good.
Look at that. That was smart.
How about that? And what was his response?
What do you mean by talk?
I think he said, did you talk to, or did you have a little talk? Did someone tell you something? And so, yeah.
So it's
so
a love connection.
It was very high school.
So high school.
Check the box if you like me.
All right. Pass him a note.
Now, let me ask you this. And again, maybe you'll be shattering all the illusions we have about our good friend Mike Catherwood. And that is, the impression that we always have about Mike is that he hates going out. He hates people. He hates going out and doing things that are fun. He just wants to stay at home and masturbate.
He's Bean Jr.
He is, and I have a lot of respect for all of those things, by the way. But how does that work in terms of a relationship where you seem like a very fun, outgoing, social person who has friends? How do you guys reconcile?
That's a great question.
Wow. Now that you make it out to be that way, well, find it out that way.
I'll give you an example before you answer.
Okay.
At Coachella, they showed up for one band at the very end of the night. They showed up for one band all the way out
way
to Coachella
go.
And then left.
Well, so that is not a party weekend.
Well, I think, to be completely serious and boring for a second, I think that we do share a commonality, which is we like to do things with people we really love and admire, and we like to make the time that we spend with those people count. So when something's very important, we go and we do it, and if it's not, we stay home and watch movies, and we're very content with that. So
you guys stay home a lot?
Yeah, we do.
I would imagine. Mike is like, we just went out in June. Seriously. You want to go out again?
You know what? To be fair, I'll say he makes a really, really big effort to go out and do things with me.
So, wow.
You know, he goes to parties with me, and it's nice because I have a designated driver.
That is nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, because Mike is, I'll say, another thing that Mike and I have in common is he does not seem to be down with the Hollywood lifestyle. He is not, I want to go hang out with celebrities, and not, I want to go to all these.
And
parties.
Neither of us are that way. And I think that's what really kind of drew us together is that we're both, you know, involved in an industry where it can be really cheesy and silly, and we don't really subscribe to that.
So you're haters. You would say you're haters.
We're not haters.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
Look, all the years that Mike was on this show, how long did he work with us, Kevin? Like 6, 7 years, something like that?
Seemed like 10.
It seemed like 100. But we had, every day, a woman would email or write or call or something that wanted to go out with Mike.
Yeah.
Is it as awesome as they all hoped it was, or can you let them down gently and let them know what a crushing disappointment it is in
reality? It depends what you want. If
are you looking for crushing disappointment?
then Mike's your man. But so far, so good then, right?
So far, so good. Yeah. No complaints yet.
Well, he scored. You are an upgrade to anyone Mike's ever dated before.
Thanks,
I hope he knows how lucky he is to have you.
I put your picture up on Chicks with Douchebags. Hot Chicks with Douchebags.
That's right. We did do that, didn't we?
I'm glad he has you guys to keep him in check.
We do our best.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time for the lovely Bianca. Bianca Kylik. And by the way, how is that name pronounced, Kylik? We've been wondering that with all those J's and everything in it.
It's Slovak. My father is from the former Czechoslovakia, but it is not pronounced Kylik very often.
How is it supposed to be pronounced?
That is how it's supposed to be pronounced, but everyone butchers it. So I'm just
used
to...
Saying yeah to whatever?
Oh, yes.
Are you communist?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's our final question.
Rules of Engagement in syndication starting tonight at midnight on Channel 9 and will be returning as a mid-season replacement. What, sometime in October or something like that?
No, probably like February.
We'll not till February.
Hey, yeah. Psycho Mike, we were just talking about you.
What are you doing in here?
What are the chances?
I just happen to be in the neighborhood.
What are you doing in here? We're just having a conversation with Bianca.
Well, I was going to do Big Boy Show, and I thought I'd stop by. I turned on the radio, and sure enough, there's Bianca on the radio.
What a shocker, huh?
Yeah.
She had very nice things to say about you, Michael.
Yeah, that's right.
Despite the fact that we were trying desperately to get her to talk badly about you.
Because I'm a real man.
Yeah.
I know how to take care of a lady.
I wish we had more time. But we must go.
All right, sweet.
Thank you,
Bianca. You guys talk about those syndication checks I'm going to start cashing?
No. So you're with her for her looks and her money?
No. I mean, do you guys talk about how much I respect her as a woman and all that stuff?
That's not been our experience.
Okay, sweet.
Okay.
Wilson froze. Touchdown, Saint. No, he dropped it.
That's not what you want in the final minute of a game when you're watching your Seahawks lose to Kevin's Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals, what a gift you gave us.
That was not cute, I'll tell you that. Football is here, week one, almost over. Two more games tonight, two Monday night games. Here's one that you're going to be interested in, kids. The Oakland Raiders welcoming the San Diego Chargers, a great rivalry there. And we're very excited to see the national anthem on tonight's game because it's going to be sung by the one and only Gene Simmons from the band Kiss.
That's right.
Who joins us here in studio right now on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Simmons.
How are you? You're very powerful and handsome.
Yes, thank you. That's a very challenging and difficult song. It seems like, no offense, sir, but it seems like it'd be well out of your rock and roll all night range.
I could see how you might think that, because I'm mostly known as a rock and roller, but first of all, I could sing that song in seven languages if I wanted to.
Okay.
But I'm going to choose to sing it in English because most people are Philistines, and they don't understand Yiddish, and they don't understand German, and they don't understand French. And
sing
they don't
it in German. Portuguese. Please sing it in German.
Die auch dich mein Schrill, kein Wohl, nor ich dein.
Wow, he can do it.
That's
how about
right.
that?
Are you impressed by that, Lisa May?
Very, yeah.
So you are going to be singing the national anthem at a Raiders game. No one in KISS has ever struck me as the slightest bit interested in sports. This is just an opportunity for you to get your face and your products out in front of a big crowd, right?
Part of it is to promote the KISS brand, but also I'm a tremendous fan of all sports, most notably football. And when you think of football and you think of intimidating teams and fans that are very passionate and like to dress up, much like KISS.
Right,
you think
sure.
of the black hole there in Oakland.
Sure.
I'm actually getting on my KISS private jet immediately after this interview to fly up to the Bay Area so that I can prepare to sing the national anthem.
What kind of reaction have you been getting from Raiders fans? Do you find that they are also fans of your band, KISS?
Most people on Earth are fans of KISS.
Well, of course, that's a given.
Obviously, but Raider fans tend to be one of a few things. They tend to be very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be very aggressive.
Right.
Which makes them obvious candidates to be KISS fans. And they tend to be Mexican. So Mexicans like things that are maudlin and dramatic, much like KISS, where we dress up and we have the great pyrotechnics and the
sure.
makeup. And it's funny you should say, do Raider fans like KISS fans? Because I actually have a very special Raider fan of that you may know. What that I've been talking to all morning.
You brought a guest?
And I brought him with me because I know that you're fans of him as well.
Oh.
Hold on one moment.
All right. Okay.
I have no idea where this is going. We had...
Young man, come here. That's right.
Gene Simmons planned, but...
Hey, what's up, dog?
Rudy!
Hey, what's up, Rudy? Dog? I've been chopping it up with Gene Simmons, dog. You know
Rudy,
what I'm saying?
No. What are you doing here?
Oh, dog, like, I was in the parking lot. I was hoping one of them vatos would give me, like bus pass or something. You know what I'm saying? Greyhound, you know what I'm saying? Make up to the Raider game, dog. But, you know, I was just hanging out. I see this, like, bomb-ass limo come up.
Right.
And this vato comes up. He rolls down the window. He starts chopping it up with me. You know, mm-hmm. next thing you know, like, they're total homeboys, dog.
You know what
That's right. He's a very smart young man. You really shouldn't you shouldn't hold anything against Rudy because I thought he was just a cretin. I thought he was violent or whatnot. But just simply by his appearance,
he strikes you as
no
violent.
Offense.
He's
not taken, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm so impressed, dog, that you took the time to talk to me. You know.
And really, I got to realize him. Very cultured man. He's a very cultured
he's
man.
Rudy is cultured.
And Rudy, I didn't want to do this on air, but I have some very exciting news for you.
Okay.
KISS has been working on the official, for the first time ever, KISS has been working on the official KISS Dickies. It's a collaboration.
Is that right?
It's a collaboration we've been doing with the Dickies Company out of Texas, you know, famous American workwear company. And
sure.
We're going to make the it's a KISS Dickies pant.
Right.
With Gene Simmons' face right there on the crotch where it belongs. You know, Gene Simmons' face, by the way, been on many women's crotch recently.
Right.
Sure. Yes,
that's true. Now it can be on your crotch right there if you buy it. And you have the official KISS garment that's going to be worn throughout Mexican barrios all over the United States of America.
Rudy, is that something you would be interested in?
Oh, dog, I can't tell you, dog, how impressed I am that you would think of me to, use this as, your announcement, you know what I'm saying? To use my name when you're talking about, official KISS Dickies. Dickies, dog. That's crazy, dog.
And that's not all. That's you were talking to me in the parking lot. I know how important your young lady, your Heina, as you call her in the parlance. Yeah.
Sad girl.
Yes, sad girl. I know how important she is to you. And you were talking to me about how she spent one semester in cosmetology school before she dropped out to have her eighth child. And I want to use this opportunity here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning to announce the official KISS eyebrow pencils.
Oh my God. Oh,
man. Finally. Gonna melt her heart, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, I think I'm gonna get a little tear in my eye, dog. Look, Lisa May, I'm tearing
you
up.
Are,
it's not,
you're
it's not just
up.
My tear tattoo, dog. It's like real tears, dog.
No, it's wow. Funny. It's funny, but hold beautiful. On one moment. It's funny you brought Lisa May into the mix.
Why mm-hmm. is that?
Well, because we were talking about Lisa May and how he should handle her, because obviously I know how to deal with women. That's
right.
What I mean. More so than writing hit rock songs.
Sure.
And marketing. Being a marketing genius, uh-huh. I am a ladies man.
Right.
I'm Gene Simmons of KISS. I don't know if you know that.
Right, we know that.
Do.
Okay. And remember, Rudy, right here. Look what I wrote down, okay? So you take it from them. Uh-huh.
Wow, right, he's giving him notes.
On top of the KISS stickies that uh-huh. we've announced and the KISS eyebrow pencil, I know you like Mexican food, Rudy.
Of course, dog. You know, I've been grinding on it since a little boy.
Well, I'm here to announce the official KISS taco stand in East Los Angeles, California.
I'm from East Los, dog. That's exciting.
That's right. And we have a special KISS fish taco. It's one of the greatest in the world.
Is
with
that
a Sonora
right?
Sonora cream
you
sauce.
Do.
How about
Sonora
that?
Cream sauce right there
yes.
on the taco.
Okay. Right.
Very nice.
So, Rudy, that's where you go. Let me read this right here, dog. Lisa May, yes. Speaking of fish tacos.
Oh, if you could read, this would be a lot better.
With cream sauce.
Okay, there it is.
I got guys, some cream sauce
tonight.
For
thank
your
you,
fish
thank you,
tacos.
Have hey, fun at the Raiders it? Game tonight.
Very
beautiful
smooth.
Work, Rudy. Beautiful work, Rudy.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We'll be right back on the world, whatever it is.
That was a moment with Bean. Well, I'm still getting used right. to the name of the show. It's been a while.
Hey, who are the hottest chicks on TV? The new fall season is here. Who are the hottest women on primetime television? There's a new list in Maxim magazine. We'll talk to Dan Bova, the editor-in-chief, coming up next. I won't give anything away.
All
here.
I know is we're having one of them in tomorrow.
But one of them is coming in tomorrow. That's all I'm going to say. And we'll talk more about that coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's happening?
We're having the best one in tomorrow.
The one on the cover. Don't make that noise.
I adore her. If it wasn't for her being tainted by the Dallas Cowboys, she'd be the perfect woman.
She used to be a cheerleader, for those of you that don't know.
She did. We're talking about Sarah Shahi, by the
way. Yes.
Yes. Sarah Shahi, star of Fairly Legal and Life and The L Word and Sopranos. Boy, she's got a good body of work.
And your heart.
Wink,
good body,
wink.
Too.
Good body of work. See what I did there? Before I get to showbiz news, how about if I give some tickets away to another very special K-Rock advanced screening of a motion picture?
Yay!
This one's called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Stars the lovely Emma Watson. Paul Rudd, also in this film. It's about an introverted freshman who's taken under the wing by two seniors who welcome him to the real world. Perks of Being a Wallflower opens everywhere in theaters Friday, September the 21st. You can see it. For regular folks, on Thursday, September the 20th, at the Landmark. If you'd like to go right now, call 1-800-520-1067. Call. First three callers to get through will get a pair of passes to attend the very special K-Rock advanced screening of that film. Well, people have been wondering for a while now, what did Clint Eastwood think about his performance at the Republican National Convention? Eastwood has finally spoken out about the speech and has said to a local newspaper in Carmel, California, where, of course, he lives and was mayor for a period of time, that he couldn't be more pleased with how he did.
Hmm. Interesting.
Oh, he didn't see it?
Mission accomplished, Eastwood said. He said his job really was to make 3 points, that everyone in Hollywood is on the left, that Obama broke a lot of promises he made when he took office, and that people should get rid of any politician who's not doing a good job. He said he got those points across in a 12-minute ramble to a chair.
I'm going to argue that those are all legitimate points that I don't think he
you
got
didn't
across
take away from that.
Because everybody was focused on the rambling old man who had no idea apparently what he was doing.
President Obama is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people, he said.
Wow.
Really? More than War of the Worlds? Wow. How about that one? Remember when they thought the Martians were landing on the radio? Come on, Clinton, you were probably, what, 20, 25 when that happened? Yeah, he's a nut. He said that Romney's campaign aides did ask for details about what he was going to say at the convention. They vet most of the people, but I told them you can't do that with me because I don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And that was more than evident, I think. So.
You don't run, I'm going to talk to an empty chair by anyone.
Probably not, because when they say, no, you're not, Clint. That's not going to happen. Word is, he just said to a stagehand, just put that chair out there for me, please. And the guy's like, what, are you going to sit down when he talks? No, just put the chair out there.
He didn't think about it at all until minutes before he went on stage, right, Ron?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time.
Like, he flew to the convention city not having any idea what he was going to say. He just kind of made it up that night.
He says he doesn't give speeches. He just talks to people.
Okay.
Maybe he shouldn't even be doing that. Maybe you need a script, Actor Eastwood.
Man, these white folks is f***ing crazy.
When it comes from actors, we go from the ridiculous to the sublime. I just love Christian Bale more and more. I don't know if you saw it over the weekend, but great story came out about the fact that there was a 4-year-old little boy named Jaden Barber who has leukemia. And was given just months to live by his doctors. So the entire city of Youngstown, Ohio, put a Facebook page together called Lighting the Bat Signal for Hayden, because Hayden's favorite superhero is Batman, and he wanted to meet him before things were all over. And so they put it on Facebook. It got about 30,000 hits, and Christian Bale caught wind of this. So what Christian Bale did was fly the entire Barber family out here to Los Angeles and then took them all to Disneyland and had lunch.
Come on.
With the family at Disney's Club 33.
Are you kidding me?
Last Wednesday. That's what Christian Bale did.
This is after Christian Bale flew to Aurora, Colorado and met with all the people who got shut up going to see the Batman.
All the shooting victims, yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Barber was undergoing, this is the kid, by the way, little Jaden Barber, 4-year-old, but now 5-year-old, was undergoing chemotherapy for bone cancer 2 years ago, and then the treatment, along with the cancer, then turned into MDS leukemia.
Oh, man.
And that's when his doctors gave his parents the bad news about the fact that he only had months left to live. As if the story couldn't get any better, doctors recently took a look at Jaden's case. He is now in remission.
Because of Christian Bale?
Christian Bale cured him of cancer.
Oh, good for you.
Christian Bale laid hands on the boy, and now he's cancer-free.
Wow.
And how was it?
Good. It was good of you to do that. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Doctors thought he was terminally ill, and now he's in remission. He's not out of the woods yet, but just a great, great ending to a great, great story.
Wow.
I hope it was good because it's useless now, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a wonderful thing, Christian. We couldn't be more happy for you. You're a good man, Christian.
Hey, it's distracting.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to. I was just trying to give you some props, man. Real quickly, top 10 movies at the box office, since we do it every Monday. The Possession, $9.5 million, made it number one this week. That's the kind of week it was at the box office. So just, I'm not even going to bother going through the other ones. Nobody, okay. Nobody went to the movies. If you're not going to bother going to the movies, I'm not going to bother telling you how much money they made. How about that?
Sounds like
a
fair deal.
I think so. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matthew Falwell of Kings of Leon is 28. Mikey Way from My Chemical Romance is 32. Ryan Phillippe, I think he's as overjoyed as I am at the tremendous Eagles victory that happened this weekend for our team.
Is that right?
Oh, just a powerhouse. Just blew the doors off of the Cleveland Browns.
They may run the table.
The superpower that is the football Cleveland Browns. Eagles, yeah. Eagles just wiped the field with them. And by wipe the field, I mean they got away with a 1-point victory in the last minutes.
When, hey, it's a W, man.
When Michael Vick decided to throw the ball to our guys for a change, just to see how that felt. Guy Ritchie, 44 years old. Big Daddy Kane, also 44. Buck Cherry guitarist Stephen D. Stevie D. I keep calling him Stephen. Stevie D is 46 years old. Robin Goodridge of Bush is 47. Colin Firth, 52. Director Chris Columbus is 54. And Joe Perry, legendary guitarist for Aerosmith, is 62. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Here's a show you want to be at. September 29th at the Honda Center. It's Rise Against along with Gaslight Anthem. Two great bands on one great lineup. You can win your tickets this morning on the Kevin Abid Show. We'll tell you when to call in. And you have another chance to win over there at krock.com as well. Hey, our friend Dan Bova, editor-in-chief of Maxim Magazine, is on the line. Hey, Dan, how are you, man?
Great. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to. Of course, we love Maxim, always have, but we're particularly excited by the pictorial feature that you have in this month's issue on Newsstands Now, the sexiest women on TV. Was this one of those where the editors all got together and yelled at each other until their pick made the magazine?
There was a lot of screaming. My right arm is still in a cast. It got brutal, but yes, we were able to narrow it down. And, you know, speaking of Maxim lists, I just wanted to take a moment to congratulate Ryan Reynolds. You know, his new wife, Blake Lively, and his previous wife, Scarlett Johansson, both had prominent spots on Maxim's Hot 100 list.
Sure.
So, you know, where most of us mere mortals look at these lists as just something to look at, you know, Ryan is using them as mail order bride catalogs.
He's working his way through them. He's working his way from A to Z.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get one out to Tom Cruise right away.
great idea. You're providing quite the public service for celebrities.
Right,
and you and I have something in common because my right arm is also in a cast as a result of seeing this issue. Hey, Sarah, I don't think we're spoiling it because we mentioned earlier that Sarah Shahi is coming in tomorrow morning here in studio on the Kevin Amin Show. But she was number one on your list of the sexiest women on TV. How was that selection made, Dan?
Oh my goodness!
Have you seen her? Have you seen her?
She did. You know, all of our shoots, we try to aim for super sexy and give guys what they're looking for. But this shoot is unbelievable, and the video that goes along with the shoot, guys have got to go to Maxim.com and check this out. It is unreal. It's one of the hottest shoots we've ever had, and she, as you guys will see, she's not only beautiful, she's hilarious. In her interview, she talks about working with Will Ferrell and describes his butt as a hairy flower. So she is awesome. And
she is amazing. We've had her on before. We're very much in love with her as well. She said in her interview with you that she wants a trophy, she wants a sash, she wants a crown, she wants everything for being the TV sexiest star, but you currently don't make any of those things, right?
Well, we are. We have the interns working around the clock. We've got a sweatshop down in Chinatown.
Excellent.
Working on something where we're hoping to get it out soon.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, before we talk about some of the new girls that are on TV, new to primetime and new to our eyes this year, I want to talk about some of the ladies that are coming back. Of course, there's no surprise that Sophia Vergara from Modern Family is here. Sophia Bush from Partners. I guess all girls named Sophie are hot.
Yeah.
Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls, who I think is about as hot as anything on TV. Have you had her as a Maxim cover girl yet?
We haven't yet, but she is. She's just stunning.
She's ridiculous.
Can we vote for that, or how does that work exactly?
I think we should start a national
campaign.
Call out there. Yeah, people should inundate her with letters. Say, we need you on Maxim.
You would sell as many copies you've ever sold if you could get her on the cover.
Yeah, she is quite gorgeous.
Sarah Hyland is a name a lot of people don't know, but everyone watches Modern Family. Is she the oldest daughter on the show?
Yes. She is the oldest daughter, and before anyone gets creeped out, she is in real life over 21 years old. So,
how about that?
Yeah, so...
Dean wasn't even going to ask.
She's so tiny, though. She's 21. She's so little.
Now he's disappointed that she's over.
No, not at all. Believe me. I was pleased. Colby Smulders, of course, is on the list from How I Met Your Mother, another newlywed. She got married over the weekend. I don't know if you heard that or not, Dan, but she also walked down the aisle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she sure did. Let's talk about some of the new, at least new to me. This new show, 666 Park Avenue. Introduce us, please, Dan, to Helena Mattson.
Yeah, when you pick up the October issue of Maxim, turn directly to page 57, and you will understand what everyone's freaking out about.
Yeah.
She's a gorgeous new star. It's this creepy show. It's like got everything you want. It's sexy, and it'll scare the pants right off you.
I'll tell you, one of the other people on this list, Amanda Ragetti, I've often thought is super hot and on The Mentalist, and she doesn't seem to get much accolades. So
right,
congratulations
well,
for putting her on this list.
That's one of the things that we try to do with these lists is we see behind the clothes.
That's not creepy at all.
I'm not wearing any pants right now.
All right.
We love to, you know, people that, you know, are on shows that are very sexy, but also on these, like, cop and these procedural shows. You know, there's a lot of women who are just beautiful, and then but you never really get to see them in the Maxim way. So
right.
That's one of our goals every issue. Yeah.
I see all women in a Maxim way. Is that bad?
You are blessed.
The category you're talking about there, Dan, is true for Daniela Rua, too, who apparently is on NCIS Los Angeles. I've never seen her before, but you got a phenomenal photo of her.
Yeah, yeah, this one's great. And she's in a flower patch, which is always nice.
Tell me about
a very tiny bikini.
Tell me about Tony Soprano's daughter, Jamie Lynn Sigler, coming back to TV. She's on a new show as well.
Yeah, she's coming back with a show called Guys with Kids. Jimmy Fallon produced it. Supposed to be pretty funny. I haven't seen it. I didn't need to see it because I saw the picture of Jamie Lynn Sigler, and
sure,
that's all I needed.
That's enough.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you, and this is Dan Bova again, editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine. We're talking about his October 2012 issue with the hottest girls on TV. Was there any debate in your office about Hayden Panettiere? Because we have had a struggle on this show with some people not thinking she's attractive at all, other people thinking she's super hot. Were you guys unanimous on her?
Oh, absolutely. Who said she wasn't hot?
Beer mug.
What? I never said that. She's been called a fire plug. She's been called lots of things. But
good Lord.
King of Mexico.
Looks,
that's who.
She looks amazing on this new show. You'll see. It's gonna blow minds.
I'm excited about Nashville because Connie Britton is on it too, and I love her as well.
Did you say Nashville is gonna blow minds?
Hayden Panettiere will.
Oh, okay. All right.
Even if I pronounce her name wrong.
Right. It's a phenomenal layout of the sexiest women on TV. And by the way, we didn't even have a chance to mention some of them, like Britney Spears coming back on The X Factor. She's cleaned up. She looks real good. There's a lot of great great photos, great articles. And, of course, the Sarah Shahi interview and pictorial is one of the best things you guys have ever done. And she'll be here tomorrow with us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Dan, you continue to do the Lord's work, my friend. We always appreciate having you on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
There we go. Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now after his first Sunday back at work in the big studio. Andrew, how did it go for you yesterday?
It went well. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
It was fun to be back.
Let's talk about Arizona-Seattle.
Why do you have to start with that? Look, I've suffered enough already, but actually, besides that game, that's a good point to get us into the officiating. Obviously, they blew it by giving Seattle an extra timeout, and there were a lot of other games, the Philadelphia game, the Packers 49ers game, where officiating was a factor. We didn't get a chance to talk to you about this last week, Andrew. What is the status of this strike or this lockout or whatever's going on with the referees, and how's it going to end?
I don't know that it's going to end anytime soon, to be honest with you. They're at an impasse. The league and the referees, right now, it's technically a lockout, to answer your question. And I don't know if it's going to end anytime soon. I know that during the morning games, the 10 a.m. games for us, 1 o'clock back east, those nine,
right,
that for the most part, they were okay with the officiating, they being the league. Ray Anderson, VP, made a comment to Peter King, who writes about it on SI today, that they were fine. Now, the late games, the Packers game against the Niners, had some head scratchers, particularly when they picked up a flag on a punt return. Randall Cobb had a 75-yard punt return for a touchdown, a couple of flags there for what looked like blocks in the back, and then they picked the flag up. And we talked about this last week on NFL Network. There's a concern that these officials, these meaning the replacement officials, might be susceptible to lobbying and arm twisting by players and referees. In other words, no, you didn't see that. Okay, I guess I was wrong.
Really?
Or not having the fortitude to stand up to the officials and back up.
Hey, one
now.
Of the games that I was watching yesterday, the announcers came out and said that they were influenced by the players' motions on the sidelines.
And listen, other officials, the quote-unquote regular officials, are human as well. You can be influenced. I mean, look at the NBA. Why is it so difficult to win on the road in the NBA? And in the playoffs, Lakers fans can tell you, Lakers never get the calls on the road. Why? The crowd is loud, everyone gets into it, and the officials are human. They often are susceptible to the emotions in any room, in any building, and they, too, can have their calls influenced that way. The regular officials are also susceptible to that influence. And as for the flag getting picked up, it's not the first time a flag has been picked up. Officials can get together and say, you know what? You might have thrown that flag, but from my angle, I don't think that was a penalty. And they discuss it, and the outcome sometimes, often, is right after they discuss it. In this case, in that Packer game, it looks like the flag was merely picked up, and it looked like that after discussing it, they actually got it wrong.
Oh, did that fall? Oh, wait a minute. Let me pick that back up.
Look, we were talking earlier today that had Seattle not been so lame and have been able to score in one of their seven chances in the last 2 minutes of the game against Arizona.
Play that audio, Bean. Just that quick.
Wilson throws. Touchdown, Seton. No, he dropped it.
The Seahawks got an extra timeout. Had they been able to score after that and it cost Arizona the game, there'd be a hell of a lot of angry fans down in the desert right now about these replacement officials, right?
Absolutely. And the league can tell you, and guess what? They're right in this regard, that it didn't affect the game. That
they're lucky, though. They're just lucky.
The Cardinals still won. Look, guys.
But they don't care, do they?
We all want the regular officials back. I don't know that we saw anything egregious enough, as bad as the fourth.
Wait a minute.
Seriously. And I'm
an extra timeout is not egregious?
An extra timeout seems like a pretty big oversight.
It happened in the Ravens and Browns game in 2009.
All right.
Four timeouts given to a team as well. And the world did not come to an end. Listen, I want the real officials back as badly as anyone. As a Browns fan, Ralph, thanks for not rubbing it in yet, on a fourth down conversion on what turned into the Eagles' game-winning drive on the shady McCoy run to the right, I mean, there was a blatant hold. I mean, a linebacker basically tackled at the point of attack there, and it's on the front side of the play. That's where the referee's eyes are. That's where the flag should be thrown, and that was blatantly missed as well. Now, the regular officials could miss that. What I'm telling you is that when you said, when is this going to change, I don't think there was anything egregious enough to say this needs to be changed this week and that we'll get something substantive done at the bargaining table. I could be wrong.
Gotcha.
But I don't think what we saw yesterday will change much.
Well, they weren't bad enough quite.
There's still time tonight, though. Andrew Siciliano is on the phone. We're talking, of course, about the NFL Week 1 DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays. NFL Total Access Monday through Thursday at 4 is when you can see Andrew. Let me just throw out a couple of teams for some thoughts. No one's willing to suggest a Denver Redskins Super Bowl yet.
But come on. It's overreaction Monday after Week 1. The Niners are going to go 16. Matter of fact, the Niners might go 17-0.
Wow.
There's a lot for those teams to be happy about, beating teams as good as the Packers and the Saints. What did you think of those particular wins, Andrew?
Let's see. Again, this is the Monday in which everyone wants to jump to conclusions. So let's start with the Redskins. RG3 was by far the most poised and the best performing of all the five rookie quarterbacks. Andrew Luck had his moments, but RG3 went into New Orleans where the Saints had not lost a home game in over a full season. They were 8-0 there last year, and in the loudest building in the NFL, won the stinking game and looked poised doing it. Andrew Luck, I think, had an equally difficult task, having to go into Chicago to face the Bears, and he was not so lucky. He did not fare quite as well. I thought he played reasonably well, and certainly, look, he's going to be fine. Peyton Manning, guys, it's the same old Peyton Manning. I mean, his fastball might have gone from 96 miles an hour to 89, but like a cagey old pitcher, he still knows how to get you out every single time. You're going to get his pitch, and they are as dangerous as anyone. And I was
saying in Indianapolis this morning as they wake up after getting shellacked yesterday? They wake up and realize, hey, we gave Peyton Manning away. How are they feeling about that decision?
Look, they didn't want to pay him $18 million, and there were legitimate concerns as to whether or not he could come back healthy again. It's not as if they made up four neck surgeries in 21 months. I mean, that happened.
Yeah.
That actually happened. Not knee surgeries, neck surgeries in what, a year and a half, whatever it was. So they decided, as an organization, to move on. Clearly, after watching that game, they might like him back. But they got the best pro-ready quarterback to come down the pike since Peyton Manning. And they ripped the entire thing down. It's not like they just got rid of Peyton. So yesterday was a rematch, Bears-Colts of Super Bowl 41, the one in Miami where Peyton won it, six years ago? There were only 13 players on both teams combined on the field yesterday that played in that game. So the Colts have ripped the entire thing down. I mean, not just Peyton Manning, and that was whatever, what they decided to do. I know that Denver's happy to have him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, real quick before we go, Bengals, Ravens, Chargers, Raiders. Any thoughts?
The Ravens will be playing their tails off after the death of their owner. The Bengals could not beat the Ravens last year. I like the Ravens there. And as for the Chargers and the Raiders, it's in Denver. I'm sorry, it's in Oakland. They have a brand-new coach as well. I just hope that the fans, Chargers and Raiders fans, if you can hear my voice, in the Bay Area or down here, please stay calm.
They have a history of not doing that.
You know what happens when the Chargers play the Raiders. We pray for everyone's health, both on the field and in the stands.
Absolutely. That is the doubleheader on ESPN tonight. I saw on TV how delighted you were to be back working at the Red Zone, and it was so great to have you back in our home, Andrew. We always appreciate your time here on the Kevin Bean Show as well. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you for allowing me in your home.
You bet. We've got that Red Bull sound space here at K-Rock where we have great bands in every couple of weeks or so, and they perform live for you, and you can see it on krock.com. Well, today is one of those days. If you like that band Passion Pit like I do, maybe you've heard their song Take a Walk or some others here on K-Rock, you can see them tonight at 7 o'clock. Passion Pit at krock.com in the Red Bull sound space. Good times. How about Harvey Levin, TMZ.com? Hey, Harvey. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're doing
good.
Fine. I want to make sure I don't forget, because I know the schedules are changing a little bit with the new fall season, but TMZ Live has a new time. You're going to be on at 4 o'clock now on
we're
Channel
be
11,
on at
right?
4 instead of 3. 4 o'clock on Channel 11, beginning today. We're very excited.
And I'm excited cool. for you as well. And you have people from, your viewers and your readers from all over the world can Skype in and talk to you on that show, right?
Yeah, no. It's really fun. And they're as much a part of it as anybody else. I mean, it's very seamless. So anybody who wants to, we start it on the web and then it ends up on TV. Just like
well,
that.
People will never get tired of talking about celebrities, particularly when TMZ.com continues posting stories like this one. Here's the headline, and then I'll let you elaborate.
Yeah.
Kanye West watched Kim Kardashian's sex tape while banging other chicks.
So here's the thing.
Classy. I love it.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
This is, obviously if we put it up, it's true, but I'm telling you, we know this. It is absolutely true. and he would even cop to it, I believe. But it's so weird. I mean, obviously this was before he met Kim, but he did it. It wasn't just like, there are some people who do it. They say, oh yeah, we just like porn and that's why we do it. He did it to get him in the mood. So he's bringing these girls in, but to get in the mood, he needs to watch Kim doing it.
Oh my God.
I know.
Sit down with me. Sit down with me. Let's watch Kim.
let's watch the girl I'd rather be having sex with instead of you. That is no compliment to the young women with Kanye, right?
Yeah, I mean, we just finished the morning meeting, and there were like some of the women in the room were saying they're lower than hookers, because at least if a hooker does it, they do it for money. And
right.
It's like, okay, well, we get it. But, oh, God.
Look, he had a crush on her, Harvey, for a long time before they started dating. And
no,
you
he
even,
did. He
yeah,
did,
you even did a story last week about him making a reference to her in a previous song and everything.
In 2009, it's true.
But how did he pursue her? How did they finally get together?
They were talking all the time. I mean, they were still kind of in touch, but they didn't hook up until they were both kind of free. Chris Humphries got in the way for a few weeks.
Only a few weeks, though.
Right. But that's the difference between celebrities and regular people. Regular people watch that sex tape and go, oh, wouldn't it be great if. And Kanye watches that sex tape and goes, I'm going to make a mental note to make this happen.
Bring me her.
But speaking of that, by the way, we did a poll on the site this weekend. We did a bunch of polls. And one of the questions was, I'd like to date a celebrity. And like 70% of the people said no.
They wouldn't. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they kind of see that it ain't the bed of roses that everybody thinks.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's other people watching every move. Nobody needs that.
Yeah.
Well, and also there are, it's like, oh, they're perfect. They have perfect lives.
Right.
Not true.
Right. Yeah. But TMZ has certainly proven that year after year after year. Speaking of not having a perfect life, let's talk about Jessica Simpson real quick. I don't know how much weight she ended up gaining for that baby, but it was something like 80 pounds or something, right? And tell us about the deal that she made to lose it and where we are in that.
Well, that's interesting that you say not a perfect life. The chick's a billionaire. She's happily married. She's got a kid.
Did you say billionaire?
She's almost a billionaire.
With a B?
I'm telling you, she has so much money from her empire. She has an empire selling clothes and doing, and whatnot. She is a mogul. She is a
wow,
an insanely rich woman. And, and then she's going to get $4 million just for losing weight. So what's your thing about not having a really good life?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, every woman who has a baby struggles to try to lose that weight. But how's that for a little bit of extra incentive to get $4 million if you do, right?
So she's going to unveil it today on a show. And we got her at the airport. We just put it up on the site, actually. And she's wearing loose-fitting clothes, but we got her over the weekend. I can't tell. You know, she's in a magazine that's out now, and I cannot believe this isn't, like, radically airbrushed.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's crazy if you see this thing. I mean, it looks like she's lost 90 pounds if you look at this thing. But I don't know. I mean, she's going to be on this show, and we will see what happens. But, you know, everybody's kind of interested right now, and she's smart because she's wearing, you know, these clothes that you can't tell, and we got her last week, and it looked like she hadn't lost any weight, so who knows?
Yeah, no, she definitely is smart, and it seems like every time you've caught her in the last few months, all she's done is talk about how she has no willpower and how tough it is, and she thought it would be a lot easier. But so it's almost like she's setting us up.
Marketing, yeah, she's setting it up.
Hold on. Jessica Simpson is a great marketer and is also really smart. That's what you two geniuses have come up with. And is a billionaire.
I never said really smart.
Bean did.
She's a great marketer.
Bean said really smart.
She's clever.
Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Of course, the good old-fashioned TMZ show still continues to air throughout the day on Fox, but you definitely want to check out TMZ Live. And hell, why not be on TMZ Live and get yourself a hat and a T-shirt as well? That airs this afternoon on Channel 11 and every weekday at 4. Harvey, thanks so much for the time.
See you guys.
LaQuisha takes a look at keeping up with the Kardashians coming up next year on The Kevin and Bean Show. That's right after the top of the hour. And don't forget, in the 9 o'clock hour as well, we'll give you another chance to win those tickets to go see Rise Against along with Gaslight Anthem at the Honda Center. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of tickets, I've got tickets to a very special K-Rock advance screening of a brand new movie called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Oh, guess the kids don't like this movie. Usually they like all the movies.
They like everything.
Usually, but they didn't like this one.
They're very easy to impress. And by the way, this movie does look good.
All right. There you go. It's Bean approved. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 21st. Rather, you get to see it before everyone else on the 20th at the Landmark. If you'd like to go, I have two pairs of tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Movie stars Emma Watson. You know her back from her days in Hogwarts. And Paul Rudd, story of an introverted freshman who's taken under the wings of two seniors who welcome him to the real world. Perks of Being a Wallflower. Call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers get a pair of tickets. Speaking of tickets, I'll talk more about it later in the week.
Okay.
Yeah, don't have time for that right now.
That's hot.
We're going to talk about the movies at the box office while we're talking about movies and tickets. Not a lot of tickets were sold this weekend. Possession, number one movie in America, only made $9.5 million.
That's way
low. Second week, that was the number one movie. Then Lawless, The Words, in its debut, the new Bradley Cooper movie about him being a writer. You hear a lot of typing as I speak about it. It's as if we're watching the movie while we're talking about it with all that typing you can hear in the background. That's $5 million, made it number three. Expendables 2 was fourth, and The Bourne Legacy was number five. Paranorman, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, The Campaign, The Dark Knight Rises, and 2016 Obama's America. That's your top 10 at the box office. A lot of matrimony in the showbiz news today. Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother fame. Also, of course, The Avengers. She got married over the weekend to Taron Killam from Saturday Night Live. Got married in Santa Barbara's wine country this weekend, and they have a 3-year-old daughter. Shaylin is her name. She took part in the ceremony, which is only appropriate.
Sure.
Since she took part in their lovemaking three years ago.
I think we understand how that works.
I'm just saying.
Right.
She has a long history with these two people.
We get it.
Because they had sex, and that's what made her.
We get that.
That's how that happened.
Right.
It's the truth. Also married this weekend, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Her husband and wife got married Sunday night at Boone Hall Plantation in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, just outside of Charleston. No word on whether their slaves were present or not, but
I'm pretty sure
they were at a plantation.
Why don't
you read a history book?
They don't.
That's what happened at plantations.
It's not
they would have slaves, and they would jump down, spin around, pick a bale of cotton.
There was an emancipation of some sort. I think that's ended. They don't do that anymore. Hey, has anyone looked in on the King of Mexico, though? Aren't Colby Smulders and Blake Lively two of his fantasy
crushes.
Girlfriends?
Two of his biggest crushes, yeah.
Yeah, he was late to work.
He is despondent.
And we can't get any reaction out of him.
My car's engine was asleep. I couldn't get it to wake up.
Have we checked in on Kristen Bell to make sure she didn't run off and get married this weekend, too? Because that would put Dave in the ground.
That
if
would
all
be the trifecta.
No,
apparently she is not. Aren't they married, Dax Shepard and her?
No.
Are they just girlfriends?
Yeah.
Boyfriends?
I think they're one of those couples that says they'll get married when gays can marry.
Oh,
I think they're,
stop
that's
it.
Them.
Get over it.
Who?
Taylor Swift, people. Taylor Swift is, besides being a statutory rapist and
A succubus.
And
Tadoff Switler.
Tadoff Switler. I heard she gave some kid cancer this weekend.
That's true. That happened. That's not how it works.
Christian Bale is curing kids of cancer.
That's
she
right.
is trying to match him kid for kid and gave a kid cancer.
She
that's
didn't
true.
Give a kid cancer.
She gave a kid cancer.
About a kid who
that's
has
science.
Cancer to
After
try to raise money to fight the disease.
She gave the kid cancer. She wrote a song about him. That's
she
how she works. She breaks
kid.
Up with you, then she writes a song about you. She gives you cancer. She writes a song about you.
The kid was already dead when she learned about the kid. She never gave the kid cancer. She just wrote a song about
him. So she didn't care about the kid until after. He died. Where was she when he was sick? Why
she
wasn't she stepping up then
him.
Doing a little something something?
She read about
Christian
little...
Bale's flying kids all over the country, helping them out, and then curing their cancer. She's killing kids with cancer, not visiting them when in the hospital, and then writing songs about them to benefit off of their deaths.
Yes, that
nice
is
work.
What happened.
Nice
actually,
work.
Actually, you have that right. That's exactly how it went down.
Well, the Kennedy family does not like Taylor Swift.
Well, you have something in common
finally.
With the Kennedy family, Ralph.
I got a lot in common with the Kennedy family. Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
The Kennedy family. They are concerned because Connor Kennedy, who is now 18 years old, even though they were dating before he was 18.
When she was a statutory rapist.
When she was a statutory rapist. They're concerned because he's just a junior in high school. And Carolyn Kenney and Maria Shriver apparently are concerned that Taylor Swift and Connor Kennedy are going to elope. They think Taylor Swift is trying to marry young Connor. And that they may run away and get eloped, and he will leave high school.
He's not even
hot mess.
High school?
He's a junior in high school, Lisa.
Oh, my
She's a 22-year-old
God.
Woman giving what? Kids cancer and stealing kids from other people's families.
Unbelievable.
That's how she rolls. By the way, the kid's an 18-year-old junior?
Yeah, I know.
Right. Special needs.
I bet he's keveting somewhere right now.
I bet he is.
Ralph, have you seen the Kevining? Have you seen the gallery?
Kevining
the photo
is sweeping
gallery,
the nation.
It's sweeping the world. Pictures from Sweden and pictures from Finland. Just
Thailand.
From
we got a Thailand.
Thailand.
Today.
All over the place coming in.
Internet celebrities are doing it. Regular people.
People at Batman great. Live. People at the Broncos game last night were Kevining, sending us their photos. Please go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com and check out the gallery. It is expanding hourly and send in your pictures if you can make the face that Kevin is making in his famous poster.
Face and hands. Anyone can do the face.
At Hollywood Babylon this weekend, people were coming up to me. I do a thing where we sell T-shirts. I sign the T-shirts and meet and greet after the show. And people were coming up asking me to Kevin with them in photos so they could get Kevining shots with me.
Awesome.
So we were even Kevining there in the line after the Hollywood Babylon
show. Glad to provide so much entertainment.
You are truly a giver, sir. And you're the gift that keeps on
It's
giving.
Bigger than Tebowing now, Kevin.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Easily. Easily. Today's celebrity birthday is Matthew Folliwell of Kings of Leon is 28. A lot of musicians celebrating their birthdays today. Mikey Way, bassist for My Chemical Romance, is 32. Stevie D of Buck Cherry is 46. Drummer Robin Goodridge of Bush is 47. Miles Zuniga of Fastball celebrates his 46th birthday. What? He's in a band.
Make the list?
He's in a band.
How did the guy in Fastball
Yeah, but he's in Fastball. Look, Big Daddy Kane is 44.
You were in a band, Ralph.
That's right.
You'd be on the birthday list.
I would celebrate my birthday if I was on the list. Big Daddy Kane is 44 years old. Actor Ryan Phillippe, fellow Philly boy, is 38 years old. Director Guy Ritchie celebrates his 44th birthday. Colin Firth is 52. Director Chris Columbus turns 54 today. And Joe Perry of Aerosmith fame, 62 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Apparently, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a show that is on the air, Kevin. Apparently, it's a real program, a reality show about that family that brings us nothing.
Oh, I've seen it.
It brings us a lot of nothing, though. Laquisha. Laquisha. Laquisha.
What the hell? You don't even know my name?
Laquisha has also seen it, and she joins us weekly for a recap of the latest episode. How are you,
Who
my dear?
Who are you? I'm not doing it now.
Laquisha.
Laquisha.
I don't know what happened there. I'm having some sort of a stroke. But how was this week's episode?
Worst
ever.
You say that really? Every week.
But this week, it's worse than last week, which was worse than the previous week, which was worse than the one before that. So naturally, this one's the worst one ever.
Okay.
Look.
Yes,
at least the past couple weeks, we had Rob Kardashian crying like a bitch to entertain us.
Right.
This episode, nothing happens again. It's about them going. It's about them and they're going to medical appointments.
What?
That's the episode. Everybody's going to a doctor.
I don't understand because, like, on a lot of these reality shows, they pump it up to try to make it interesting. Like on Honey Boo Boo, they give the family a pig, you know, to take care of or something like that. Just so there's something to look
already.
At.
This family has a pig.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Chloe. All right.
So it starts with Kris Kardashian, or Kris Jenner, as she is now known.
Yes.
She got two younger daughters, right?
Yep.
Karma and Kleptomaniac.
I don't think those are the right names.
And they keep going into her closet stealing her clothes.
Maybe they are the right names then.
And she's upset about that. And that it happens on television. That they show young girls going into mama's closet taking and borrowing her clothes. And she's upset because they always say one thing about her clothes when they steal them.
No, but I think some of your stuff looks kind of better on the younger generation.
Every time they take something there, one excuse is always, it's not age appropriate.
They're saying that their 56-year-old mother does not dress appropriately for her age.
I tend to agree with them.
Yes.
Just because she's a 56-year-old woman who's desperately trying to act and dress like she's 29 and is a horrible human being doesn't mean that she is not age appropriate and that she's constantly trying to compete with her much younger, much more attractive daughters and trying to act like she's one of them instead of being a mother.
Yeah.
She is not trying to change her appearance and trying to keep up with the fashions and makeup just to desperately try to hold on to her faded youth. That's just not the case. As she explains to her kids.
I've got to go to my doctor's appointment, and you guys are making me late.
What doctor's appointment are you going to?
I'm getting my boobs redone, so it's my consultation.
All right. Well, maybe at 56, she is going back in for another boob job because she wants to try to look younger and hotter.
Yeah. That ship has sailed.
So she gets to go to the plastic surgeon. And she's sitting there looking at photos of lots of naked adult film actresses to try to find the right set of boobs for her.
Right.
Those are crazy. And this is, whoa, honey. I have enough boobs here for, like, a football team. These are good.
Yeah, those are nice.
I've been wanting to do this for so long, but I can't believe that I'm sitting here going through porn magazines so I can find the perfect pair of knockers.
Really awkward when she starts watching the Kim and Ray J tape. Looking for the perfect set of knockers.
Hey, those are good. I'll take those.
So funny, she's looking at porn pictures. She goes, oh, this girl's got enough boobs for a football team. Yeah, that's Kim's picture you're looking at. Reggie Bush. So she goes in to meet with the doctor, who's as much of a whore as she is. He'll do anything for money. So he's going to play with this 56-year-old woman's boobs and get them look at least a little bit better.
So you think you can make this situation look better?
Definitely.
Awesome.
So here's the sequence of events.
Posing for Playboy.
Nope.
Do not let that happen.
I agree.
You Hefner. You had the common decency to turn down Courtney Stodd, and you turned down Kris Jenner, too. She's going to get her boobs done while we're looking at the other medical needs of this family. Scott Disick. He's looking to get a vasectomy because his girlfriend, Kourtney Kardashian, says she wants to have more children. And he's talking about how upset that makes him while he's talking to his best friend. Who do you think Scott Disick's best friend is? Joe
Scott
Francis.
Of course
it is.
Girls going wild.
You're
man.
Kidding. What a douchebag that guy is.
Has there been a more appropriate pairing on television?
Wow.
Than Scott Disick and Joe Francis? They're like the Crockett and Tubbs of douchebags. So while he's at the doctor getting his nads looked at, Kim Kardashian comes out, Kris Kardashian, Jenna, whatever her name is, comes out of the hospital with her newly improved boobs, and she keeps trying to make everyone in the family look at them. She gets the family together at a barbecue, I kid you not, so she can show them the new boobs.
That's weird.
The daughters, the son, the friends and family of the daughters and the sons, and she's still got all the stitching in it. It's not like they're ready to be unveiled yet. And even Khloe Kardashian is upset.
I mean, the stitches are still, like, it's like Frankenstein boobs. This is so sick. It's disgusting.
You can't force me to look at your, I actually think this is like molestation or something. Like, God.
Please look at my,
you gotta calm down.
She's begging people to look at her titties. Oh,
and everybody is yelling, no, no.
Yeah, they're running like Godzilla through Tokyo. People are screaming and pointing and going the opposite direction.
It's so funny, LaQuisha, or LaQuitha, whatever we're going by now these days. As much as the girls, as much as Kim and Courtney and Khloe are all whores and they want everybody to look at them all the time, they're absolutely conservative compared to their mother.
Where do you think they got it from?
No kidding.
They
absolutely.
Were not raised in a vacuum, these children. This is the example she sets. Now, Kim's starting to panic. We'll just talk about doctors and whatnot because Mom's getting new boobs and Scott's getting his nads clipped. She's concerned. She's 31 years old. She don't have no kids, and she's thinking about having them. So she wants to know what all's going on inside there with her woman parts.
Right.
So she goes to a fertility doctor to have her eggs counted.
I could either take after Khloe, who has, like, issues getting pregnant, or my mom and Courtney, who don't. But I have less of a chance than Khloe because I'm 3.5 years older than Khloe. So if anything, I'm in a worse position.
Yes, that, and then use the wrong, you use the wrong orifices to get pregnant. I've done seen the videotape. I'm like one of them replacement referees under the hood. I went in to take a second look at the videotape, and the call on the field stands. That's why she's not getting pregnant. So now Khloe goes along with her. To the doctor. He says, well, while I'm here, me and Lamar been trying to get pregnant for 3 years. It ain't happening. Let's see what happens with my eggs. Turns out she is like Albertsons at Easter. The egg department is empty. Nothing going on there.
Oh, no.
She's not dropping any eggs.
Uh-oh.
And she's very upset.
Right now I'm freaking myself out more because I think about what if I don't produce an egg. You know, I don't know.
Yay! A Kardashian's crying again!
I love that music so much.
Yay! It's a very special episode of the Kardashians. Khloe's got no eggs. Which is just the well, because you can't crossbreed species anyway.
That's true. It's probably safer.
You got Lamar Odom, a human, and then you got the troglodyte that she is trying to make babies with. No, nobody needs that.
Correct.
And then Scott Disick, you go ahead and you get snipped, by the way. We don't need you procreating anymore, neither.
Agreed.
And Kim, you just keep being the amusement park that you are for black athletes.
And LaQuisha, we'll talk to you next week.
And thank you for getting my name right, Captain.
Time for our final look of the Showbiz Beat here with Ralph Garman here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. By the way, Ralph, candy corn Oreos come out today. I meant to mention that earlier today, but they're available at Target stores if you want to get yours. I'm going to get mine right after the show, but I didn't want you to miss them in case they sell out. It's a limited edition item.
Candy corn Oreos? Is that what you said?
Oreos. Candy corn Oreos.
He's Oreo cookies. Rant about Oreos.
I thought it was candy corn Oreos because that's where you should shove those.
Ralph, so Bean went a couple of days ago to see if they were leaked, if they were out early at a Target.
The bootleg copies?
Yes. And then he went yesterday to see if they were out again.
I hope
went to two different Target stores looking. Oh, come on. They sound so awesome. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Why would you take a perfectly good food like an Oreo and then just ruin it with candy corn, which is the worst candy ever made?
Well, first of all, candy corn is awesome.
And by I mean, it's horrible, though.
You mean it's orange and yellow and white-colored wax, is what you're saying.
Look, there's a reason. We may have to save this for another time. I don't want to use up all your time. But there's a reason why millions of people every year buy candy corn.
The
it's
reason
delicious.
Is the season. No, it's color-coordinated with their decorations for their Halloween party.
And they eat it. Look, walk into any store right now that's putting out its Halloween stuff, and you'll see shelf after shelf of different kinds of candy corn.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see shelf after shelf of candy corn because it's the same candy corn from last year that they couldn't move on the shelves. Go to any Halloween party. Not that you ever would go to a party, Bean. But go to a Halloween party and then go to the food table and see what's always left behind. after everything else is gone. You know what you see? A giant bowl full of candy corn, untouched candy corn.
What's there not to like about candy corn? It's just
sugar. It's wax.
It's just sugar. That's all it is. It's awesome. And candy corn Oreos sounds like two great tastes that taste great together.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Wrong one.
Guys, guys, guys! Don't you see this is just what the terrorists want us to do? The war is out there, man, out there! Now pull it together!
I'm just saying it's probably going to sell out, so get to Target immediately and buy them today. That's my only point.
There'll be plenty for you, do not worry.
Just back to you, leisurely Ralph. Stroll to Target and get your BS Oreos stuffed with crap.
How can you love it? It's crap.
That's what I'm saying. How dare you?
Why don't they make Crappios? Just Oreos stuffed with human feces.
They might as
and
well.
Just put those on shelves.
Same thing. They just sell more.
Oh, it's sell out. Oh, it's sell out in a heartbeat. Speaking of sell out, I wasn't going to talk about this, but now I'm going to talk about it because we're talking about selling out.
All right.
We sold out to Hollywood Babylon this past weekend. Congrats. Thanks to everyone who came out. We are doing it again Saturday night at the John Lovitz Theater at 8 p.m. We're moving the time to 8 p.m.
Now, why are you doing that?
Some
was it
people,
10?
It used to be 10. Some people said, oh, it's a little late for us, and we would like to have to go dinner beforehand, and we'd like to go out for drinks afterwards. So we think we're moving to prime time, basically. It's going to be 8 p.m. at the John Lovitz Theater.
Okay.
To celebrate that and to give people the heads up and to create a little excitement about our new show at 8 p.m., we've been in touch with the people at Batman Live. You know how what big Batman fans Kevin Smith and I are?
Sure.
So the folks at Batman Live at the Staples Center on the 27th, its first show is on the 27th of September, have told us that for everyone who comes to Hollywood Babylon Saturday night, they will give them a free ticket to Batman Live at the Staples Center.
Well, that's cool.
It's very cool. So it's a twofer, really. If you want to come see the show, if you see Hollywood Babylon Saturday night, this Saturday night, the 15th, you will also go get a free ticket to see Batman Live.
How can you love it? It's crap.
It's not. Batman. It's no such thing. So Smith and I are going that night, so you can come with us. We'll all go together.
Crap, man.
It's not.
Can I make a special request to Ralph? Since this,
sure.
This showbiz
he's having a lot of strokes.
This showbiz beat has all gone to hell anyway, so I might as well junk it up some more. Will you tell the Steve Jones story again?
Sure. I don't know. A week and a half ago, we did a little bit on the show where I was doing my impression of Steve Jones from Sex Pistols, who's got his own radio program here on K-Rock on Sunday nights called Jonesy's Jukebox, which I find wildly entertaining.
Great show.
And I'd never really heard it before until I was coming home from the airport late one night when I was traveling actually to do Babylon on the road, and I was driving home from the airport, and I was like, this is awesome radio. It's like old-time radio. He takes his time. He tells stories. It's very involving. And I also love his accent. I thought it was hilarious. So we did a little bit on the show about the fact that he's a little bit out there, and we were talking about the box set for the Sex Pistols that was coming out, and I did my my Jonesy impression. Well, it turns out that I did it better than even I could have imagined because his manager heard us doing it in the morning, and she immediately, in a panic, called Steve Jones.
He's gone off the rails.
Concerned that he had gone off the rails and was doing this bizarre drug-addled or drunken interview with Kevin and Bean in the morning. She bought it. She thought I was him.
He's clean and sober now, famously,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Very, very outspoken about that. She was terrified that somehow he'd fallen off the wagon.
Right. So Jonesy actually talked about it on his show, Jonesy Jukebox. So here's a little tape about the man himself talking about my impression.
Talking about K-Rock, didn't Kevin and Bean.
I heard
Wednesday. I got a message from my manager saying like six messages, and I woke up. For some reason, I woke up late, like 9:30, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And then, as I'm about to call, she calls me one more time, panicking. You was on Kevin Bean. Were you getting loaded? Because Ralph
was impersonating
me, and I guess he was saying like, I'm getting a high or what, I don't know. But she went into a panic. But now I think I take that as a compliment that Ralph did a...
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Did
now.
The Jonesy voice.
I was trying to find the podcast of it.
He was promoting the Sex Pistols box set that's coming out in England because Bean heard it on the Nerdist.
Oh, yeah, the podcast that you did.
Yeah, that came out on Tuesday. And I was talking about it, and I guess Bean's a big Nerdist fan, so that's how this all come about.
I can't wait to hear Ralph's impersonation of you.
Yeah, I wish we had it.
So we're going to send it over to those guys so that they can...
I'd love that.
...hate me even more. Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that Steve Jones would know that much about the Kevin and Bean show?
No, not at all.
He seemed to know all of us.
We had him on once.
But me and you guys, and that Bean's a fan of the Nerdist and everything, he knows a little bit too much about us.
I think his lawyers have done some research.
We were hoping to fly under the radar a little more.
There's going
to
be a meeting in Mr. Weatherby's office sometime soon. That's all I'm saying.
This does sound like one of those that requires some follow-up paperwork, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I'm going to have some explaining to do.
Hey, Bean and I said, told Ralph not to do it, and then he just did anyway.
What the?
If I recall correctly.
You two are the are the candy corn Oreos of radio. Horneos.
Try it again.
My new cookie. The Horneos.
Come on, man.
Today's celebrity birthday is Matthew Folliwell of Kings of Leon is 28 years old today. Mikey Way from My Chemical Romance turns 32. Other musicians, Joe Perry of Aerosmith is 62. Robin Goodridge of Bush, the drummer for that band, is 47. Stevie D of Buckeye Cherry is 46. Big Daddy Kane turns 44. When it comes to actors, Ryan Phillippe is 38 years old. Colin Firth is 52. And directors Guy Ritchie and Chris Columbus celebrate their birthdays. Guy Ritchie is 44. Chris Columbus, 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget, tonight at 7 o'clock at KROQ.com, you can check out a live performance by Passion Pit at the Red Bull Sound Space here at KROQ. So go to 7 o'clock, KROQ.com. All the details are there right now. Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. Dana White, the president of the UFC, will be here.
Wow.
We're going to take your phone calls of what rock bottom was for you.
Rock bottom! Ooh-ah.
It's a little different for everybody.
Fred Schneider calls in.
I was drinking. I was snorting.
And we may have to take Bean out with this candy corn thing. I mean, this is just, it's gotten too much. You haven't been in here half the time, Ralph. He's been going on and on about these stupid cookies.
Look, Oreos, Nabisco is a smart company. They wouldn't put them out there if they didn't think there were a lot of people who would enjoy them.
They put them out as decorations, not to be eaten.
No, you don't bother making it a cookie.
They're just
if you don't
desperate for a holiday tie-in. They're hoping they'll get a slight bump in sales because they buy into some BS holiday. What else
because
are they going to put in them?
Awesome.
Pumpkin? What are they going to make? Pumpkin Oreos? They have to find something to stick in there.
Hey, that's a good idea, too.
All right.
And you also, forgot the most important part of tomorrow's show.
I was getting to it.
Well, you should have
saving it until he jumped in.
You with your Oreos.
Sarah Shahi will be here.
Come on!
She's unfairly legal.
I want a Shahi filled Oreo. That's what
you
I want.
Ask her tomorrow morning.
All right.
And she's also on the October Maxim, if you'd like to check that out. That is all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.